Yeah, because it has that flavor about it where, like, it's almost like the thing that happens with limerence is that you're enjoying yourself, but you also know it's too much.
Yeah.
You also know you're in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know there's something up.
Yeah.
You know that you're losing, your body is also sending you warning signs.
Yeah.
As well as it's sending you that kind of like throbbing base of desire at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, but it's also going, yeah, you're not okay here.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are a couple of tracks that feel a bit more like club ready. So, or like more dynamic. Mm. I was wondering how that plays into the whole topic of the album, or
like the
one with the
with Halka.
Yeah,
yeah. So, I feel like both Halka and also Angels in the Valley with Laura Cecilia is kind of the more clubby tracks, and I feel like going clubbing has been part of my healing process in a breakup, also because I moved to Berlin and there are really good clubs and it was fun, but also like getting to know new people and having like new perspectives on this subject or new perspectives about life in general. But I feel especially the one with Holger is kind of a scene where you are going to a club to kind of cry or forget or meet new people or
I remember actually once with when a friend was going through a shitty heartbreak that I went out with them almost every day, just that's a part of the process.
But dancing can be a good way of healing.
Yeah
I love going for a dance.
What's that feeling of like that feeling of friendship? Like I had a birthday party not long ago and there was a moment during the night when I was dancing with two friends who I've only kind of met in the last year, but we were just in my living room, in my tiny apartment, dancing to Blondie, and just like it felt so ecstatic.
Yeah,
it felt very kind of like, oh, this is actually really, really valuable.
Yeah.
And in some ways, again, it's a moment of kind of returning to yourself a little bit and like not being so intoxicated, but then at the same time maybe getting high on something else. Maybe we're just always getting high on different things. You're considering like now that your Berlin time is over.
I think like I'm not done with Berlin yet.
Okay.
I'll have my base in Copenhagen.
It would be a very strong and arrogant statement. Like, I think I'm done with Berlin. Yeah. Berlin is...
done with Berlin. But I would like my base to be here, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now my base has been in Berlin and I was traveling back and forth also because Rhizome is a very like a physical event also.
Yeah.
We do a lot of like events and concerts and stuff like that. So I had to be back and forth all the time.
Mm.
And I feel like it makes more sense for me to be here and like collaborate from here, but then go and play concerts in Berlin and see my friends there when I visit and stuff like that.
But do you feel like also Copenhagen scene or like, you know, also being from here, maybe it does feel easier in a way to like to work on your career?
Yeah, I think so. And also I want to build from here, if that makes sense. Like I want to, if there's something, I talked to some friends about it, like if there's something I'm missing here, then I want to create it from here.
Yeah, exactly.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, and, for sure.
Being part of like creating the dream of Copenhagen, which I'm dreaming of.
Yeah, because with places like Berlin, like these hubs, like it's great, like you can get a lot out of it, but then it's maybe also difficult to get into like, okay, I want to build something for this.
Yeah.
Because what this is so fluid and, unstable.
Yeah, but I must say I'm really excited about like being back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've only been here for a week. I'm very excited.
So let's check back in on that.
Next week. See how it's going. I was wondering if does anything come to mind as like something that you think is missing here that you'd like to build?
I feel like it's not missing, but I want to, like it's a very rhizomatic idea actually, but just building on the community. I feel like it's not missing, it's there already, and people are collaborating a lot, but I just want to be part of that.
Mm.
I feel like I have always been, and yeah, I'm a team player.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see myself doing something by myself. I have a solo project, but yeah, it's very collaborative, and I feel like we are doing it together.
Yeah.
So I just, yeah, it's not missing, but I want to be part of that.
Yeah, you want to like build it up, make it stronger, and make it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's kind of also like what the vibe is in like this entire project that we're adventuring on here, right? Because it's like for like a decade, these two like projects of the lake and Passive Aggressive have just been next to each other, not interacting. Well, I mean, knowing each other, but like not like making a thing happen. So,
It was time.
And also, like, I think folding in like artists into the discussion with like the critics as well, like getting some kind of like, some sort of community gesture.
Yeah.
That seems to be so diverse.
Being like, we're not the bad guys.
I'm not the bad guy. You sometimes are maybe the bad guy. That's like a different
role.
We have different relationships to criticism. So you sent us also a track of like someone who inspires you.
It's because like, but the track I chose is maybe not that representative of that, but I'm very inspired by the phone and sounds of the phone right now.
Right.
Mm.
And maybe it's because I've been living in Berlin and like having a lot of phone calls with my family and friends, but the phone and the sounds of the phone has just become very emotional for me.
Yeah.
So it's not becoming an album or anything, but I'm just investigating like what the phone means and all these sounds relating to the phone. And then I found, a friend showed me this album by DJ Lost Boy and Taurus called The Flash.
Mm.
And it's just a very beautiful record. I hear it almost too much. But like they have a lot of sounds of like unanswered phone calls on it, and it becomes almost a void where you are in a way together but also like not together and wanting some deep connection, and I can really relate to that. So I chose to bring that track called Into the Sun.
Yeah, it was also kind of, as you were talking, just reminding me a lot about like also the Capri Songs record. It's just like so much of that is like samples of like voice notes you send a friend who's having a messy breakup, and it's like, this is the vehicle. Like, I have a friend in all who always jokes like, I love my phone, all my friends are there. So this is, Taurus and DJ Lost Boy, Enter the Sun.
Yeah.
could definitely hear some inspirations in this. Yeah, those drops are so the drops. I mean, like, but what you've done is you've added a bit of spice of like pain to it, and then of course like a lyrical like structure around it. But like, yeah, there's a different tension in yours because it has the drops and this kind of nice pretty pad thing going on. But like in yours, it's like much sharper. Kind of like there's another tension going, but the nature of those drops, they're kind of distorted. Little Tim Heckery kind of quality. Like there's some, and then I guess both like kind of tending towards beautiful, but you going on this kind of like extra route of like, but what if it also hurt a lot? And then the beauty's in that.
Yeah, it's a good trick.
Yeah, but otherwise they're working with like phone kind of sounds or...
Yeah, some of the other tracks, I just found this so beautiful, so I wanted to show it to you. But some of the other tracks are having a lot of like phone, unanswered phone calls and like speaking voices. And
But then their other project from DJ Lost Boy is Malibu, right? That's more like ambient...
Should check it out. Okay.
So, like, what made you study philosophy?
Why?
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah, I mean, it's a question you have to ask all philosophy students.
So, I think I've always been interested in like theory and reading, and then I was like, maybe philosophy is something for me. But to be honest, it was not.
No, it's at KU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still love reading theory and I'm very inspired by it, but I just didn't found it as my like it was not the right place for me, and also like the texts we read was at that time not that many critique points, but one of them was that we didn't critique enough. So I felt like it was coming home when I started studying music. Actually, I thought that was interesting, and we also read some theoretically texts at the conservatory, and so and else I just do it at home.
I mean, like as someone who works in an institution that claims to be a university, I can definitely say that there's a very particular quality to lots of education that happens in Danish universities.
Yeah.
It's a bit pious. It's a bit like know your place all the time, which I think is, as you say, you don't get to do the critique.
Yeah.
But if you're making music, you're constantly doing critique because you constantly go, well, that sucked. Let's do that. Let's try that again. Or like, that's kind of what I was after, but not quite. Or like, and then a different kind of embodiment as well, I guess. Mm. So, I mean, I can definitely sympathize with that experience you're recounting.
Yeah.
But do you feel like studying at the conservatory was important, like not just because of the education you get, but was it also relevant in terms of building a network or meeting new people?
Yeah, definitely.
Because I feel like a lot of people did
go
there.
Yeah, some of my best friends are from the conservatory. Yeah. So I think it was very important also to have like 3 years where you could, many of my records are produced in that period where I could just like create and create and create. That's very rare to have the opportunity and privilege to do that. So I feel like I learned a lot in that period, both from the school, from the from my friends, but also just like having this privileged period of being able to do music every day.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Like a 3-year residency. It should be more of that.
Yeah, it's also because I studied like music technology when I was like an undergraduate. But in the UK, where there's lots more kind of combination of say practical and theoretical education in a sort of like you get a regular degree, you go to a regular university, you do that, you can do, whereas here it's like so divided off, like it's in the conservatory and that's a it's a different ministry that's in charge of that, for example. I often think that the theoretical and the practical, like they don't talk across so well, though it sounds like you had an experience where like you actually had space to like indulge both of those, but maybe also because you already came in with that interest, like that you wanted to contextualize it and you wanted to play with concepts and see what they would help you do.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. Yeah. Because I'm just analyzing your life. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like for me, it's very exciting to find like new inspiration sources. Right now, I'm reading a book by Mindy Soy called The Feminist, no, sorry, The Cyber Feminist Index.
Right.
Do you know Mindy Soy?
No.
Oh, you should check her out. So she has collected. It's a really big book, but I was at a talk with her in Berlin with a friend, and yeah, she collected all these articles, notes on cyberfeminism. Mm. So I'm just like reading it, but it's filled with hyperlinks. It's very much like based on like the internet.
Yeah.
So I don't read it from like first page to the last, but more like, ah, this sounds interesting. Mm. Then I'll go here and.
Yeah,
it's really an inspiring design too.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah, that's like a few years ago, where Passive Aggressive published the Danish translation of the Xenofeminist Manifesto.
Yeah,
and we did a great event where we got Diane Bauer, who unfortunately has since passed away, to come and talk about that. And it's a really like fascinating way. Also, it's a lot of music people are really into like. That particular group as well, and like so a few of them are musicians, so it's an interesting, and actually the guy that translated it was a sound scholar. This is a very strange combination of things, but yeah, I also like like these resource books where it's just like, yeah, you just jump around and you find the connections of your own because you get to be a rhizome on top of it, I guess. Mm. Yeah, so like, I mean, yeah, so anything stand out when you're reading that though, like anything kind of like is there a little part from the index that you think you'd like to share, like something that excited you?
I was thinking about bringing the book, but I didn't do it.
I mean, it's,
today.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want you to read from it. But like,
I can read something.
Also, like, if you had, you know, what, if you don't sell anyone, though, they won't know. We can say the book's here. Like,
have no, yeah. Have no so, clue. What stands out for me right now is not a specific text.
Right.
Actually, it's more like. The way of building a book in that way, and like also how emotionally the internet is for me, and like communication with people through the internet, and like having an online, offline life. And I feel like these questions are very interesting for me right now because I've been living very much also on the internet and on my phone. And what does it mean?
Yeah. It also, like, it kind of means you, it's hard to be in a place, I guess, in some way, if you have this connection back all the time. Like, I'm just thinking now that, like, my dad grew up in Canada. When he moved to the UK in the 70s, like, it's just not, like, able to keep in touch with people.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's you're forced to be in a space and, like, you know, be in that community in a different way where, like, yeah, you can be between spaces, which is wonderful, but also... Yeah, you maybe are a little bit at a distance because you're always in that connected space. And I wonder if that, does that like relate to your experience of being in Berlin, or is it?
Yeah, so I think like I'm very not sure how I feel about how I'm connecting to the online life, actually.
Yeah.
But I just think it's very interesting.
Mm.
Like,
yeah.
But I think I've never talked so much on the phone as the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's maybe why it now has memories. And I feel like connected emotionally to my phone because I had so many nice talks on the phone while I was there with my friends and family here. And like, yeah.
It's a different kind of focus as well. Like,
bring back talking on the phone.
I've been doing this. I've been bringing back talking. Like, this, like yesterday I caught up with a friend who I knew like, 10, 15 years ago, who like she now lives in Philadelphia in the US, like she's from the US, but like we hadn't talked in like 10 years.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because like we just could fall into like a sort of rhythm and like, oh, that's great.
Yeah. I love talking on the phone, but I cannot do video calls.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I feel like there you see the person and then it becomes really clear that you're not with them in a way.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, also like they're kind of surveilling you as well. Like, because you see your own face, so you see what you look like to them, and then you feel like them, like, judging what you're up to, which is, like, not what happens in a regular conversation, because I have no idea what you're seeing right now, which I fully enjoy. Like, but yeah, if you're seeing yourself and then you're, like, aware that if, like, they're in some sort of awkward angle because of how cameras are, it's a half thought through technology.
Was it difficult also, like, you know, co-running the label from another city?
I think actually it was doable. Because we, under COVID, got used to, like, doing video calls. But I prefer having, like, physical meetings. I'm having a meeting later with Mess and Martin Michel, which we are releasing this spring. And we can actually meet physical at my place and have a coffee. It's going to be nice.
So much better.
Yeah, it's
going to
be nice.
Say hi to Martin. It's been a while.
Yeah.
I want to set up this other, this Frank Ocean cover that you have sent us. So, yeah, is there anything you'd like to tell us about that?
So it was, it's not going to be on the album because I'm not sure I can clear the rights for that. but
this might be an exclusive.
It was when I was trying out if I could actually do a cover. So it was very a fun process of, like, trying to make a cover of a song I loved.
I think you should try and clear the rights for that.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's worth the energy. Yeah.
Does anyone have a contact to Frank Ocean? I can borrow.
I feel like, well, listeners to this podcast, get in touch with Aria, and then if you have a contact for the lawyers of Frank Ocean, so we can clear the rights to make it able for them to release those really nice wet drops. Because that was actually kind of an overwhelming one, because that's still a heartbreak kind of.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, also with the whisper singing and the, it's like, Yeah, it's a lot of pain going on there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but the lyrics are so good. Like, inhale, inhale. Like, both inhale and then also inhale, which is heaven.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, also that idea of, like, sucking something in, which is completely destroying, but also there's an ecstasy in it, and it's, kind of death drive stuff, I guess, which is what relationships are, really.
But yeah, with this project of covers and remixes that you mentioned, are you aiming to make it into an album or
I hope so.
Sort of release? Yeah,
yeah. I hope so. I'm contacting people at the moment or artists at the moment, and I've done a cover by Polly and one by Scow. But now I'm trying to get some more stems. Yeah, because I think like it's really funny to make a remix or cover with the stems as a starting point, but then changing it into something completely different, maybe not having the stems in the end, but just having it as like a starting creative starting point.
Yeah, and I also love the idea of also just, you know, covering other people from the scene stuff, not necessarily something famous, because, you know, when you think of cover, you usually think of
Hurt
covering
by
popular tracks.
Yeah, but I feel like it's very much in the rhizomatic and community thinking I have already to make a cover album and like honoring the work of my friends and the ones in the community.
Yeah, because then it also feels more like a two-way exchange, you know, like also giving them something to...
Right, there's a bunch of like emo bands in like the 2000s who do like releases where they would like be two bands and they'd just do a cover of each other's song. That'd be like the... Yeah, some sort of like kind of tap on the shoulder, like, if you like us, like them, and like kind of this sort of signal of like, hey, this is, we also have tastes and we want to share it in some way.
Yeah, but rework is really interesting. Also, I also done a rework of my first single called Your Eyes, and I made a, on the, not this record, but the one before, where, I did a rework of Your Eyes called Your Eyes 2. And yeah, it was really fun trying to create another kind of scene for that lyric material.
It's also like it has that, you know, in the way that, say, when you produce a text like the Cyberfeminist Index, you're kind of like producing like a field of knowledge just by making the book, and then like, You kind of make a scene that, when you make a record, it kind of makes the scene that it would make sense within. And so if you make a different reworking of that, like it's like a kind of like a time travel, or like a split history kind of thing, like parallel worlds coming up where like, what if this was the first version?
Yeah.
Or like, what if, you know, what if I built around this set of like sounds and feelings and interpretations of it?
Yeah.
Like really exciting. It's a really exciting, creative and generative project, it sounds like.
Yeah, and also the idea of reworking material is also kind of a critique of everything should be new constantly. Which is not my belief that it should, but you can actually take a lot from what is already there and just make new stems from it, or just like make another angle to it, or build on what is there already.
Which like also has the kind of like feminist critique of like, say, like the original, like original kind of like male genius kind of phallus thing. It's like, no, but we have a bunch of things we can give each other without having to be like the owners or masters of areas. Super fascinating. It's going to be, looking forward to the release.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have anything else lined up?
Bearing in mind this will come out in March, so if it's... if it's happening in the next week or so, we can't really promote it via this medium.
From March onwards.
From start of April, I would say you can promote things from there on.
Yeah. So the cover album will be out maybe next year. I'll work on it for a long time. So right now I'm just going to have a release for the Limerence album and play some concerts here in Berlin, and then we have three releases at Rhizome this spring. Michelle Skau and Lau Andersen. Yeah. And maybe something else will pop up, but that was a little spoiler.
All right.
Right. Is there anything that, you know, that you wish that we'd asked you, which we haven't so far?
Wow. That's a good question. No, I think it has been really nice talking to you. And I think we should do it next year and see what's up next year.
Yeah. Good job.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds like a good. That's a good idea. Well, Well, thanks so much, Aria, for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Passive Aggressive Conversations is a collaboration between The Lake Radio and Passive Aggressive. It's made possible by support from Two Book Funnel, Augustinus Foundation, the Danish Arts Foundation, and CODA. Our theme music was composed and produced by Simon Stina Ramazan Ali.
Caesar, but I'm gonna meet you in the boxing ring later for later to meet Vegeta. With our Lone Rangers, Joe Frieza, and I will turn Iris Man or Medalli Harris. The song's called The Big Fight. It's called a big fight. I know you're in the last and final round. As soon as you get to get the round.
Roberta, ben jij er? Roberta Petzold? Is ze niet? Nou, zij heeft zelf ook een podium, het panpodium. Oh ja. Waar? Nee, Roberta. Tos! Oh, de reddende engel. Wil je wat doen, Tos?
Heel graag.
Oké. Tos kan niet erin, lieve mensen.
Ja, ik ben in dezelfde, met dezelfde boom in gevecht geweest als jij. Want mijn voortanden zijn eruit. Ik wou ik het niet doen. Ik dacht, ik ga niet zo voor het publiek iets doen.
Maar dan moet dingen doen, dan heb jij het ook.
Ja, precies.
Ik heb ze expres niet ingedaan, tante. Los te steunen.
Het is ook maar een heel kort verhaaltje. Het gaat erover dat ik met Annie, die hier ergens rondloopt, maar doet er niet toe. Dat wij op reis waren en we waren in Marokko. En daar speelt het verhaaltje zich af. Het is maar heel kort. Dus. Zo zag ik laatst in een moderne shoppingmall, de Agadir, een vrouw in een knalrode peignoir lopen. Met van die grote gele lachende berenkoppen erachterop. Schrik niet. Zoiets is hier comilfo. Ze had ook nog een H&M-tas in haar hand. En ik zag haar halt houden bij een openstaande deur en haar pantoffels uitdoen. Ik keek om de deur en zag een zaal vol vrouwen. De berenduster wenkte me. Kom, Annie, riep ik, terwijl ik mijn schoenen uitschopte. We mogen eindelijk een moskee binnen. Het was doodstil in de zaal, terwijl een vrouwelijke imam met een plastic bakje in haar hand gebeden door de microfoon knetterde. Annie had het eerst in de gaten. We zijn op een Tupperware party, fluisterde ze. Dat was het, mensen.
Dankjewel, lieve buurvrouw.
Mm.